Real Presence Live.
I just want the Lord to show me his love so that I can love the people that he places in my care as a priest.
Local.
That's an empowering thing to make a difference wherever we are.
Engaging.
You're culturally Catholic. You have the things, you have the knowledge, but has it penetrated the heart? Mm-hmm.
Live.
Freedom of religion implies the ability to take that faith out into public life and to live it and to share it with others.
Welcome everyone to Real Presence Live here on a beautiful Tuesday morning here from the sunny, okay, not sunny, but the Fargo studios. It rained last night, but an awesome thing. My wife woke up and says, look, the grass is green because of the rain. It had noticeably changed overnight because of the rain. Isn't it awesome? Praise God for that. My name is Tim Mosier, your host today. Have a great, great show planned for you. We'll run that down in just a little bit with Eli. Good morning, Eli.
Good morning, Tim. How are you?
I'm doing quite fine for an old guy. I appreciate that. Well, let's begin, as always, with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we praise and we thank you for all the gifts you give us, Lord. The gift of life, the gift of family, the gift of friends. We thank you for the rains that come down, and we ask for a good growing season for our farming community, Lord. Lord, today, open our hearts, especially to those in need in any mental or spiritual difficulties, as we break open these topics today, Lord. Help them to penetrate not only our mind, but our heart, that if we ourselves are in need or see others in need, we may help them, we may care for them, we may show them your love, your grace, your mercy. We ask a special blessing also over all our guests, that the Holy Spirit may be speaking through them, Lord, and into our hearts. We put all this at the feet of our Blessed Mother and pray for her powerful intercession as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Mary, Queen of Health, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome again to Real Presence Live. I'm going to throw it over to the great producer, Eli. Eli, what is coming up on this show?
Well, Tim, first off, you're too kind. But here's what's coming up this morning on Real Presence Live. Have you been outdoors to enjoy the warmer temperatures yet?
Yeah, you know, I was. It was amazing. My wife, actually, yesterday, was running around Riverview with our child in the jogging stroller. My mom lives there. So it was awesome, yeah.
That's great. Well, Eric Swenson will be joining us to talk about the importance of staying active and how that can make your spiritual life increase.
Mm-hmm.
Counseling. Some say, it's not for me. Others are fearful of it, and some really enjoy it. What about spiritual counseling? Is that necessary? The Diocese of Crookston's Deacon Steve Thomas will share his thoughts. Shame and guilt. Is there a Catholic way to look at these terms? We'll find out with Jennifer Anderson of Catholic Charities, North Dakota. Next, we'll sit down with Rory Beal of Clay County Public Health to talk about a new program called Building Compassionate Schools. It seeks to build a network of support in public schools to help children work through different traumas in their lives. And lastly, Nancy Jo Sullivan will share her story of raising a child with Down syndrome. She'll explain how God's blessings come to us in disguise and how the experience has impacted her entire family. That's all coming up this morning on Real Presence Live. Tim?
Sounds like an awesome show, Eli. Thanks for that preview. Appreciate it.
It always is, isn't it?
Man, I tell you, it's amazing. God just has a way of working it out, doesn't he?
Absolutely.
That's awesome. Well, good. Well, good. Well, see, as Eli mentioned, we're going to welcome our first guest, Eric Swenson, to the show. Welcome, Eric.
Good morning.
Good to talk to you, my friend. How are things going there?
Great. We actually have the sun shining here in Duluth, and thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. You bet. That's great. Well, you know, Eric, it's great. You know, we go across at least three to four different states with Real Presence Radio with our signals. That's awesome. It's always good to have someone from out in the Duluth area. Now, a lot of times, Duluth is kind of one of the latest places to realize spring, but it's good to see you guys have sun. Is the snow all gone there?
It's pretty close, yeah. We've had some nice warm temperatures, and we're looking forward to it continuing.
Yeah, it's kind of a little different this year. That the southern belt, the southern Minnesota and South Dakota, are actually the ones that got hit with a lot of snow the last couple of weeks, so they're a little behind us.
They are. You're right. We had school closings down there, I think, just last week, and so it's quite a winter we've had.
Exactly, exactly. Well, first of all, let's talk a little bit about the outdoors, Eric, and what attracts you to the outdoors. How come you're such an outdoors guy?
You know, it's just exciting to be able to get outside, unplugging, as a lot of people like to call it, get away from see what the outdoors has to offer for us. And I've just been able to encounter so many fortunate experiences in my life outdoors, and wanting to share that with other people has just really always been a passion of mine.
You know, one of the things, as you think about, you know, Duluth in particular, the North Shore and all those kind of things, talk a little bit about the beauty of what you have, especially there in the Duluth area, in the up in the Northeast region there.
Well, some people might be concerned with the winters we have, but I'll tell you what, I know a lot of people, and myself including, that just really love the seasons that we get to experience here in the Duluth area. You can start out with the spring like this, like you had mentioned, with the grass changing to be greener overnight, and you know, then we get into some nice temperatures during the summertime. We could do without the mosquitoes, but and then we have beautiful fall colors. You know, you can drive up the North Shore and see some of the most beautiful places in the world, driving up the North Shore, and then we all know what the winter's like, but the snow is a fortunate thing too as well. It helps us out, so it's just a really nice place we live. So
yeah, you know, the beauty, and you've probably experienced it yourself, I just, when we get, either whether it's the mountains, you know, or again, driving up to the North Shore, just that beauty really, really tends to bring me closer to God. I mean, it really makes me stop in awe and wonder and amazement of the beauty that God has made for us.
No, you're exactly right. I mean, too many times people to overthink that fact and don't take the time to stop and look and see what God has given us, and just how fortunate we are to have what's out there right in front of us, and to get outside and better utilize our resources and just experience it is really what we all should be striving for.
Absolutely. You know, one quick story about Duluth, living in Fargo for 30 plus years, flat as a pancake, I played a lot of volleyball in my younger days. I went to Duluth for a tournament. I remember they had an ice storm that night. I was trying to get to the church, right? I mean, the school. And, okay, all the hills you guys have there with ice? I mean, everything I tried, I almost slid into Superior several times. It's like everything's downhill, right? I mean, I could not stop and go on those streets. I don't know how you guys do that in the winter with ice.
Very carefully, that's for sure. I think that someone should offer training classes for tourists if they're going to come here during the winter time, because it can be very dangerous.
I agree.
We try to avoid it.
I agree. I think it's an art, for sure. Well, Eric, you're going to be running a 5K. We'll talk about that a little bit later, but you enjoy mountain biking as well, don't you? Tell us a little bit about why you like that so much.
I do. I'm fortunate enough here in Duluth, close to 100 miles of mountain bike trails from one end to the other, and just the capabilities and the level of advancements for the trails are from anyone to the beginner all the way up to experts. And I think that's why I appreciate it so much. We all remember that feeling of getting on a bike with training wheels growing up, and then getting those training wheels off and falling over for the first time. But then later on through life, it may leave us a little bit, and we don't bike as much as we did. And I want to strive for more, and people to just get on bikes and experience that outdoors, and just the beauty, like you had mentioned, that we have here in Duluth for those mountain bike trails.
You know, one of the things that, whether it's running or biking or just being in the outdoors or even walking, you know, I love the combination, Eric, of exercising and being out in that beauty. You know, your heart rate goes up, you're breathing more deeply. I mean, I just feel a great physical and spiritual connection when I am out there exercising and enjoying God's beauty. Is this the same for you?
Yeah, absolutely. No, you're right. Just that feeling of exercising and knowing that you're taking good care of your body, you know, for God, and God wants us to live a healthy and very spiritual, enjoyable life, and getting out there, and whether it's walking, biking, or running, like you said, just taking that little bit of time every day to improve our bodies and our health makes our life better, but God happier as well.
Yeah, the goodness of doing the truth, goodness, and beauty. I love that. You mentioned a little earlier, Eric, about, you know, becoming unplugged, and I guess that's one of the things I love too. You just take that deep breath, you walk, and you really, you know, like I said, in touch with God, but with yourself, your mind is free, it's clear, physically so healthy. It's just amazing what that does for people. We have a daughter in Denver, and we went walking with her and her two dogs over Christmas, was it, or over Thanksgiving? Can't even remember now, but it was like 60 degrees, you know, out in Denver, and it was just amazing. It was acres and acres. It was just a beautiful day, and I tell you, you come back from there, you're smiling, you're happy, you're feeling refreshed.
No, you're right. I can testify to that. I went to school in Denver for 4 years, and to be able to have that nice, crisp, thin air and come back here, and you're happier. You want to get outside and enjoy it more and more, and you're exactly right. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking with Eric Swenson from Duluth about the goodness and the beauty of being outdoors, especially now as we get into these warmer temperatures and things like that. Now, Eric, of course, in addition to being physically more healthy going outdoors, let's talk a little bit about how staying active can help us maybe in our spiritual life as well.
Right. And so, I mean, if I could, offer up any suggestions to people that, you know, are wanting to get outside more and just start by taking a walk or going for a run, if you can just, like we had mentioned, just clear out your head and take time to just listen to what's going on while you're out there and just listen to God. Let him talk to you and you know, have a conversation back with him with, you know, how am I supposed to improve my day or how can I help others? And you will hear answers, and I can testify to that I know he's watching over me all the time when I'm out there being active and just making sure that I'm okay and that I'm going in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. For sure. You know, Eric, something just came into my mind as you were saying that there. You know, it is such a natural thing, I think, for we as human beings, especially when we're having difficulty or feeling under stress, to go outside and take that walk. I can think of countless movies, for instance. Think about it, right? It's the character is, they're stressed out, you know, they don't know what to do. What do? They go out and they walk. They walk, and, you know, maybe it's not an explicit encounter with God in the movies and, you know, in the movie's plot, but at the same time, it just shows that natural inclination in our heart to get away from all the technology, to just to be out, to be still, as you mentioned, and to listen to that voice. And it's on every human heart. I really believe it.
I do, too. You're right. People don't realize it, but I think that if you do take that time to step away from the challenges that you're having, the stressful situations, and just go out, take a short walk, and just think about what's going on. And if you open up your heart and let God talk to you, we all know we can guarantee that we're going to come back a happier person.
Yeah, absolutely, Eric. That's so true. Any other ways that you or other friends have experienced God in the outdoors, encountered him out there?
Well, sure. I mean, to relate back to how, you know, I got started in mountain biking, you know, there were health conditions that happened in my life that were very life-changing, and I had a moment of thinking that I just want to go out and I want to get on a bike again. Mm-hmm. And since that day, I mean, I've biked almost every single day when I can, when the weather cooperates for it, and I thank God every day that, you know, he helped me make that decision to go down this route, because I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for, you know, that the conversation and that stress relieving, you know, decision we made to go down that path.
It's amazing. You know, as you're talking, there a priest friend of mine and my family, he had a life-changing event in his 50s. The doctor basically said, I think it was, you know, heart condition. He says, basically, you need to start exercising or you probably aren't going to be with us. And he's in his 80s now. And up until,
wow,
he's had a few health problems now, but for up until a few weeks ago, you would see him out jogging outside, you know, doing things. And here's this 80-year-old man. He says, you know what? I'm going to do this for my health. I'm going to do this for God, because what God has given me. He had this life-changing thing as well, and he really dedicated himself to physical exercise as well as spiritual, and he's been in great health for many years.
No, that's awesome. I love hearing stories like that. And I mean, I just love meeting people like that can tell you a story of why they decided to go down the path they did and change their decisions. And we meet a lot of those people when you're out. It's not always by yourself when you decide to go for a walk. You know, maybe you get your friends or family to go with you, and you start a group run or a group mountain bike ride, and you start to tell these stories with people, and you'll come to realize that a lot of the reasons, you know, are the same. We're all trying to improve our health, but in the end here, you know, God wants us to live a healthy and happy life, and that's the main picture.
Exactly. It's the Real Presence Live. I'm Tim Mosier, your host, talking with Eric Swenson. Eric, you know, you guys have a great idea and a great way to do just what you've been talking about. It's called the 5K for God. Why don't you tell our listeners about that?
Thank you. I'm super excited about the seventh annual 5K for God, and it started 7 years ago, obviously, back when we wanted to think of a way that we could give back to the Catholic school systems here in the Duluth area. And now, to this day, we are still donating all of the proceeds that we take in from the event back to the Stella Maris the Catholic school system here in Duluth. And we're just really fortunate and excited about this event again this year. And one of the coolest things that we do each year is we have a t-shirt design contest with the second graders at the school. And so the second graders get to take some time to draw a picture of what God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, what it means to them. And that our Knights of Columbus group at our church pick a design, and it gets to be printed on the t-shirt. And so during the event, everyone's wearing this beautiful picture on their shirts, and it's something that we get to take home with everybody, and it's a really rewarding event.
Wow, what a great idea to get the kids involved too. So the second graders have the t-shirt design contest.
Correct.
That's nice.
Yeah.
And of course, you know as well as I do, Eric, when you get the kids involved, you get the parents involved. That's very, very smart. That's good thinking there. That's awesome.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, tell our listeners a little bit about if they're interested, how they can get signed up, or a little more information on the 5K for God.
Yeah, really simple. There's a few ways to find out more information. We have lots of buzz around it on our Facebook page on the 5K for God. And there's also a website that'll send you to a sign-up link, and that's really simple as well, 5kforgod.com. And if there's any questions at all, my contact information is on there, and I'm happy to reach out to any parents and answer any questions that I can. And we're just looking for one person to spread the word to others and just get a lot of people out here for a spiritual event.
As you know, Eric, we are body, mind, and spirit, and I just love the idea, being an athletics coach myself, for 30-plus years, I know the profound connections between our body, between our mind, and our soul, and when you're engaging all of those things, just as you've been talking about, we're out there in the great outdoors, engaging our body, engaging our mind, thinking about God, engaging our spirit, lifting our hearts to Him. There really is something about that fullness, that completeness of the human person in that environment, isn't there?
There is. No, you're exactly right. I just I want to share that same message with everybody as well, too. If they take the time to just step away from the stresses and challenges that we have, that your prayers and your conversations with God will be answered out there being active.
So true. So again, for more information on the 5K for God, tell us that website again, please, Eric.
5kforgod.com.
Pretty simple. Even I should be able to remember that, right?
And right.
The phone number, if they want to call for more information, Eric?
Absolutely. It is 218-349-0602.
Wonderful. Eric, just about 30 seconds left. Anything else you'd like our listeners to know about?
Just that, this has been a successful event, and we're just continuing to want it to grow every single year, and that, it's for the kids, really, and that every year that experience of, donating this money back and seeing what they get to use it for and improving, our kids' education is extremely important. But don't forget the main reason why we're out there, and that's to just, be active and to improve our bodies to live a healthy and happy life for God.
Boy, sounds great. Eric Swenson, thanks so much for your time and sharing that with us. We'd really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
All right, God bless you and the 5K for God and Stella Maris Schools.
Great, thank you very
much.
Have a great day.
You as well. We're going to take a quick break, but when we return to Real Presence Live, counseling. It can be a trigger word for many people, but we're going to talk about spiritual counseling. Is that something different? Do we need that? The Diocese of Crookston's Deacon Steve Thomas will share his thoughts about this after the break. You're listening to Real Presence Live, and we'll be back right after this.
Stay with us. There's more Real Presence Live to come on the Real Presence Radio Network.
The Wanzek Family Foundation has proudly supported the mission of Real Presence Radio since 2004. With their help, we've been able to continue spreading Jesus Christ's message of hope throughout North Dakota, Minnesota, South Dakota, and Wisconsin. The Wanzek Family Foundation is dedicated to supporting Catholic initiatives and programs like our weekly local show, Real Presence Live, heard on Tuesdays and Thursdays with the encores on Saturdays. Thank you to the Wanzek Family Foundation for being a part of this family of faith and hope.
Real Presence Radio is always the radio station of my car. My family and I listen to this radio every time we travel from home to church, from home to school. It's been a great, great moment to learn our faith better, and it motivates me to hear of so many good, holy priests, nuns, religious deacons, and especially the lay people who know their faith so well. It encourages me and my family to want to also know and learn the faith and live the faith that we listen to.
I listen to Real Presence Radio whenever I'm in Dickinson, but when I'm traveling, which in fact I recently traveled from Maryland to Dickinson in a coach with 15 of my family members and remembered my Real Presence app. It's on the phone, it's free. I was able to listen to my favorite programs the entire way back. You can listen to Real Presence Radio anywhere in the world with the app on your phone or your computer. It's fantastic. Thank you, Real Presence Radio.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchak.
What's the path to true happiness? Turns out our bodies can answer that question better than we can. A recent study by UCLA and the University of North Carolina found that people who pursued happiness primarily through pleasure produced fewer disease-fighting antibodies and experienced more joint swelling than people who pursued happiness by being loving and trying to lead meaningful lives. Although both groups claimed to be equally happy, researchers found that only the participants who worked hard to be loving, virtuous people were happy all the way down to the cellular level. Pope John Paul II's Theology of the Body tells us that we can know God's intention for our lives and relationships by reflecting on the design of our bodies. Science and faith agree. The path to true bone-deep happiness is to love your neighbor and to live virtuously. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
You're listening to Real Presence Radio. Now, back to Real Presence Live.
Welcome back to Real Presence Live this Tuesday morning. My name is Tim Mose, your host from the Fargo, North Dakota studios. Looking through the window at a good-looking young guy, Eli. Absolutely got the salute from the producer. That's always a good sign. We'd like to thank Eric Swenson from the Duluth area for his time with us last segment about talking about the outdoors and our spiritual and physical health. Right now, we want to turn to a word that not too many people like, counseling. It can have some negative connotations, especially when we hear it in reference to our marriage. But we're going to talk and welcome Deacon Steve Thomas from the Diocese of Crookston to tell us more about this. Welcome, Deacon Steve.
Hey, Tim. It's great to be with you this morning.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. Did you have rain up there last night, or were you guys rain-free?
We did not. We left all of the rain to the south of us, to our neighbors in Fargo.
we appreciate it. And of course, since we're in the Red River drainage basin, we'll send it back up to you in a little bit. How's that?
Oh, that's so kind of you.
We share. What can I say?
Yeah.
Well, Deacon, you know, some people, they've heard about counseling. It might have some, you know, negative connotations, especially, you know, when we talk about it in the spiritual realm, because some people talk about spiritual counseling, spiritual direction. Why don't you break all these terms down for us so we kind of understand what they mean?
Yeah, I think you're right. A lot of people get a negative connotation when they think of the word counseling. And really, when it comes to the interior life, which is what we're talking about in spiritual direction, we too kind of, avoid the word counseling. We probably talk more about mentoring, because mm-hmm. in truth, the interior life is really about walking with somebody on their journey to holiness. And of course, we get all in all kinds of trouble because, you know, we're famous for throwing these terms out, things like holiness, but we don't do a very good job of defining them. And so I'm kind of a simple guy, so I just try to break it down for people. Really, the goal of our life is we're created by God, for God, to be with God forever. And God desires to be friends with us. And so friendship is really the key to spiritual mentoring, And spiritual mentoring is nothing more than just walking with somebody as they learn and become friends with God. And there is aspects of counseling involved in that. There is aspects of listening that are involved in that. There are aspects of encountering, aspects of accompanying, and even for someone like you, aspects of coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it's a willingness to go and journey with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And the big thing between counseling versus spiritual mentoring or directing, counseling people are typically coming to you for some advice. They have a particular problem that they're facing, and they don't know, you know, where to go with that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in spiritual direction, it's more of the questions are different. They're questions like, who am I? Where am I going? And why does it matter?
Mm-hmm.
And so a spiritual mentor or director walks with them and helps them to unpack those questions. And the spiritual mentor or director carries a compass. So he's not the answer man, but he has the compass, which points them in the direction where we're all headed, which is deeper intimacy with Christ. So that's just the way that I would break down the difference in the terms.
Yeah, that's so true, and I appreciate that. You know, one of the things I think, at least that comes to my mind, a lot of people fear, have the stigma about counseling because somehow, you know, I'm not good enough, or, you know, I've got these weaknesses, you know, I really do I need to go to someone to, you know, to get answers, to get help? I mean, like you talked about the difference between counseling and direction. I think that was a great, great distinction there. At the same time, I think there's a certain amount of humility in just realizing that, you know, sometimes, especially up here, we're go-it-alone people. I can do this myself. And no person is an island. We all need help. We all need others. We all need relationships. We all need this accompaniment, this journeying together, as you talked about. And so really, to come out of that shell and realize it's not a bad thing to want to accompany someone or journey with someone or ask someone for some, you know, assistance along the way is not a bad thing.
No, in fact, the truth is none of us are getting to heaven without each other.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the reality of it. And if we're honest with ourselves, all of us fall mm-hmm. short, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so instead of wanting to admit that to ourselves, oftentimes we depend on ourselves. And I'm real careful with people when I first meet them. I don't start throwing scripture at them, but I do have a favorite verse that I paraphrase, you know, that leaning not on our own understanding, you know, trusting in the Lord with all our heart, and leaning not on our own understanding, is really that moment where we finally realize, you know, I have walked most of my life depending on myself, and what has it gotten me is a lot of emptiness, a lot of brokenness, and a lot of sorrow. And when I ask for help is when things turn around. You know, in spiritual mentoring, one of the stories that we all go back to is the prodigal son story.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is a moment in the middle of that story where it says coming to his senses.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really the point that all of us come to where there's an awareness of, my gosh, what is happening to me? Where I'm amongst the pigs, living like a pig. And then this prodigal comes to his senses and realizes that he has a father who loves him. And it's in that moment of awareness that the son gets up and goes back. And that's really the spiritual journey for all of us, is that coming to our senses. And who helps us with that coming to our senses and that awareness is really our brothers and sisters in Christ who walk with us, who know us in some ways better than we know ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so spiritual mentoring is something that everybody does. We do it every day of our life. You do it all the time. We may not call it that, mm-hmm. but that's exactly what we're doing, is when we accompany people and are willing to have holy conversations, meaningful conversations. And that doesn't mean just, you know, throwing Bible verses in there. It means asking them pointed questions like, you know, what do you think you want from life?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus does that with Bartimaeus.
Right.
Bartimaeus, What do you want? Mm-hmm. Right? Those are the questions. Who do you think I am? You know, he says that to Peter. Who do you say that I am? These are all questions that we have to ask ourselves in order for us to become aware of the fact that we're created by God, for God, to be with God forever.
So true. We're talking with Deacon Steve Thomas of the Diocese of Crookston here on Real Presence Radio. I'm your host, Tim Mosier. You know, you mentioned the prodigal son, Deacon. I think, you know, coming to his senses, absolutely. And I think it's interesting what the text explains after that is this essence of humility. He's going to say, I've sinned against you and sinned against God. I no longer deserve to be called your son. He has come to that point of humility where he realizes he can't do it himself, where he realizes he needs his father, his spiritual father, and his earthly father. And so that's exactly how we come to our senses as well, is realizing this, as we talked about before, that we all need help from God in some way and from others. And
It's absolutely true. I mean, for clergy, mm-hmm. it is required to have a spiritual director mm-hmm. and a mentor because of the recognition of how needy and dependent we ourselves are and how easily we go astray. You know, this week is the readings from the Good Shepherd, you know, and when you think of was a Good Shepherd Sunday, and you think of that picture of the shepherd holding this lamb battered and torn and separated from the rest of the flock. You know, this is a little lamb that tried to go it on its own. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and Jesus, who is the Good Shepherd, who is ultimately the great spiritual guide, goes out and doesn't condemn the lamb. He picks the lamb up, puts the lamb on his shoulder. And really, that's what this is about. You know, Pope Francis talks about accompanying others and yes. about encountering others. And this is what we're called to do. This is how Jesus did it. He went out and encountered people. He went to the woman at the well and encountered her, asked her pointed questions, but listened to her and listened to her pain, and then ministered to her where she was at.
Yes, met her where she was at and then took her where she needed to be. Absolutely. Well, yeah. let's talk a little bit about spiritual direction. How has it affected you? You mentioned how the clergy all need to have spiritual direction, so you must engage in it as well then.
I am. In fact, I'll be perfectly honest. It's one of those things that a lot of people who are about to embark on this, they will have the same difficulty that most of us find is trying to find and retain a spiritual director can be a challenge. Mm-hmm. And so in my time as a deacon, I'm celebrating my 10th year as a deacon. I've had, I think, 5 spiritual directors, and through no fault of their own, just they get reassigned to other parishes or whatever, they have to move on. But even with the difficulties that come from having to change the person that you walk with, there's been such blessing in my own life. I'm one of those guys that, you know, I'm a type A, I act, then I think, and so I'm out there doing before I'm being, and as a result, I tend to be like that little lamb that goes astray. Mm-hmm. And so having somebody to walk with, that I go and sit down with, who listens, who validates my needs, but also challenges me, has been literally critical for keeping my compass pointed in the right direction. Because the truth is, if we guide ourselves, we will guide ourselves away from God just by our concupiscence and by our you know, disformed nature. But when you have somebody else who themselves are on the path of holiness and themselves are under the guidance of another person, they literally walk with you, and now they have the compass and they lead you to the truth that you know, that Jesus is the answer for everything. Mm-hmm. And it's not a complicated process. It doesn't matter what is the formation of spiritual direction that you're under. There's Franciscan, there's Ignatian, there's Benedictine, but they all basically are the catechism of the Catholic Church. It's just the precepts that the Church has been teaching for 2,000 years.
Exactly, exactly. Deacon Steve Thomas with us from the Diocese of Crookston. You know, so obviously spiritual direction isn't just for, you know, the clergy. It's everyone can benefit from that. And there's such a beauty, and we always talk about the truth, the goodness, and the beauty, that the transcendentals. It really is a beautiful thing, isn't it, when you get the spiritual guidance, because what you see is, if we're open to it, right, we see this person really, really coming alive. You know, and yeah. it's just amazing how we become the sons and daughters that we're called to be. That's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
It is. In fact, you know, that is, you know, when we start to realize that we are sons and daughters of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, once our image is reshaped, then our attitudes become better, and ultimately our behavior follows. And so it's that's exactly what spiritual mentoring does, is it awakens us to the beauty of who we really are. And so then we can begin to do like Paul talked about, which is to pray unceasingly, not necessarily by reciting devotional prayers, but just by being able to see God in everything and to be able to see his hand throughout our lives, throughout the day. And in all those we encounter, all the people, we begin to find Christ in them, much like Mother Teresa. She was able to find Jesus in everybody that she encountered. But most importantly, we begin to see that God is in us. And that's, for most of us, the hardest place to accept that God would dwell, because we see our flaws, we know our imperfections, and we think there's no way that God could, you know, live in here. But the truth is, that's where he chose to dwell. We're temples of his Holy Spirit.
Amen. Tabernacles, absolutely. Three things come to mind, Deacon, when you say that. Mother Teresa, I love that she just saw everyone, you know, the poorest of the poor, Jesus in a distressing disguise. Isn't that, I love that, right? You know, just that.
I know.
And, go ahead. And the other two things are from Vatican II. Jesus Christ fully reveals man to himself and makes his ultimate calling clear. He is the Son of God. He is God himself. He reveals that we are children of God, called to live with God forever, as you mentioned. And the last thing comes to mind is from Vatican II as well. The glory of God is man fully alive. Jesus wants us to have this full life. I came that we have life and have it to the full, right at the end of the sheep gate, right? I'm the good shepherd. They want a full life, and we are truly sons and daughters of God, and that's what we're made for.
Yeah, that's beautifully put. You know, I tell people that the journey is really, it's 2 feet. You know, we're using the foot of learning who we are while we use the other foot of learning whose we are. So the walk includes that, like, who am I? And whose am I? And as we learn more about who we are, we learn who he is. Mm. As we learn who he is, we learn who we are. And it's when people begin that journey, you begin to see that they now have this transformation of the Holy Spirit in them. And they go out, and from being mentored, they now feel equipped to start mentoring others. It's exactly what the 12 did. Right? Mm. Jesus walked with them for 3 years. And then he sent them out to go mentor others.
Exactly. So true. Deacon Steve, you have about a minute left. If listeners want to look further into spiritual direction and what it's all about, where can they have more information, or where can they go?
You know, I would send them to the Diocese of Crookston website. Mm-hmm. There is an article that they did about spiritual direction, about spiritual mentorship, and how they can get plugged in if they want to. They can certainly call and just leave a message, and I will get back to them. I have once a week I go there and do spiritual direction for people in the diocese there, and I get all my messages. I not only want to encourage people to go to spiritual direction, but also to consider becoming. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I have information on that also.
Wonderful. That's great. Well, Deacon Steve Thomas from the Diocese of Crookston, we'd like to thank you for your time and all your insight into spiritual direction. Thanks so much, and God bless you.
God bless you too, Tim. Thanks very much.
You betcha. All right. Well, time for another break, but don't go anywhere. After the break, those two words, shame and guilt, usually looked upon negatively, especially that Catholic guilt, right? But is there a positive way a Catholic can look at them instead? Jennifer Anderson from Catholic Charities North Dakota will join us just on the other side of the break to explain. This is Real Presence Live, and we'll be back right after this.
Live, engaging, and local. That's Real Presence Live on the Real Presence Radio Network.
Programming on Real Presence Radio is sponsored in part by Mayo Pharmacy in Bismarck. At Mayo Pharmacy, we're proud to be here to serve you. We're pro-life and pro-family. We respect all human dignity while providing for your individual needs. And we're now remodeled with new Catholic gifts for all ages, including Mystic Monk Coffee, Holy Heroes Adventure Guides, and Cat Chat for Kids. Mayo Pharmacy, located at 303 North 4th Street in Bismarck. You can call 701-223-2424.
Real Presence Radio is such a gift to the Duluth area. I've been waiting for a long time to have a talk radio station that I know is speaking truth. And for all those that have been seeking this, I urge you to continue to listen to the radio station, to support the radio station. We really need this in our area. I've learned so much from, that I can't even name one thing. It's just too many things. The programs I love, Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, Dr. David Andrews. I love the apologetics. I love listening to non-Catholics calling in and asking questions so they can learn, and I learn from them and where their heart is at the time, and just a wonderful, wonderful ministry that we have here, and I pray and hope that it will be here for years to come. So thank you, Real Presence Radio.
On 10 with Monsignor Charles Pope.
The second commandment, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. The disclosure of a name in the ancient world belonged to the order of trust and intimacy. And so when God revealed his name to Moses, it was an extraordinary outreach to us, saying that we were called to an intimate, trusting relationship with him. And so we should always reverence this name as a great, great gift. We should obviously never use God's name to curse or to blaspheme or to berate others. That's wholly inappropriate. God's name is meant to bring blessing. And likewise, the vain use. Vain means empty. And so some of these expressions like, oh my God, or, you know, and so on, need to be avoided as well. Vain means empty, and those are using God's name as an empty kind of expression of exasperation. And then finally, never ever to use God's name to swear an oath falsely. The second commandment, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic. You're listening to Real Presence Live on the Real Presence Radio Network. Join in the conversation on our Facebook page and be sure to like us for more great Catholic content. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back, everyone, to Real Presence Live. We are laughing here in the studio, which is a good thing.
Yes, we are.
Joy, joy, joy. Jesus, others, and you. That's yes. Right. Keep it in order. Oh, my goodness. Well, great to hear Real Presence Live. We'd like to welcome to the show Jennifer Anderson from Catholic Charities. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Tim.
Well, you know, Jennifer, these ideas of shame and guilt, oh my goodness, you know, two terms that don't usually seem positive, although I must admit I've heard of this Catholic guilt all my life, you know, it's kind of hanging over our head, right? In a way, it can be a good thing, but speak to this and help us how we can see good in this shame and guilt.
Yes, well, guilt is the responsibility for the wrongful act committed, and shame is the sentiments of loss or any type of regret in their hearts. Mm. And those are distinct, you know, you talk about the Catholic guilt and kind of a couple generations ago, and mm-hmm. people make jokes about that. We often think of guilt as a feeling in our heart more than just a responsibility mm-hmm. for the wrong. The distinction is that guilt has the power to lead us to immediate conversion, mm-hmm. whereas shame often cuts us deeper, mm-hmm. sometimes leading us to feel as though mercy and forgiveness may not be possible mm-hmm. because of those choices and actions that lead to the feeling of shame. So when it comes to the beginning, way back in the first book of the Bible in Genesis, where Adam and Eve, in reference to their original condition, which included their nakedness, they had no shame. Mm-hmm. And that's Genesis chapter 2, verse 25. Mm-hmm. Shame entered after the fall as a consequence of their sin. Mm-hmm. However, whereas they were guilty of committing the original sin, their shame was in their sentiments that may have included fear. Mm-hmm. Embarrassment over their condition of even being naked, and other types of feelings of regret or even self-hatred at that time. So things really changed.
Exactly. You're right. They hid themselves, right, from God. And so as you can tell, they felt that shame as well. Exactly. Now we're yeah. naked and with shame. We have to have clothes, and the shame enters. Mm-hmm. I like that distinction between guilt and shame. Guilt leads us to conversion, where shame, you know, can take us away. Think mercy isn't possible, like we're not worthy, and God wants to bring us back.
Exactly.
Interesting. Exactly. Well, so why do we often fall into feel then shameful or guilty?
Well, we might feel a time of guilt after committing a sin, mm-hmm. or with the recognition that when we humbly ask God or our neighbor when necessary to forgive us. Mm-hmm. But we will be forgiven and able to move on from it, from that. In feeling shame, though, we may have a need of greater healing gifts of God. It's that hanging on.
Right.
And so that we may both be forgiven of the sin or sins that led to the shame and strengthened or healed of other afflictions that came as a consequence to the act, such as that self-loathing, depression, or other types of sentiments that weaken our sense of being loved by God. That shame just lingers and lingers. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that can be very, very debilitating. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, since we know that guilt and shame are part, you know, of our lives, you know, we all experience it to some extent. Is there a Catholic way to look at this to help us out?
Oh, yes.
Yay!
Yay! We've got the answers. We are the truth. We are. Well, for those who feel shame, please do not be afraid of the grace and mercy of Jesus, especially as available as the sacrament of reconciliation or penance. The Lord does not desire the death of the sinner, but that we would be able to turn back and live. And that's from Ezekiel, chapter 33, verse 11. There are no sins too big mm-hmm. for God. He's a big boy.
Yeah,
he can
exactly.
take it. Mm-hmm. We look at the crucifix, by whose crucifix he has already won the victory over every sin. Trust in the Lord at all times. I have that let go, let God mm-hmm. in my office. And we can just say that. And if in doubt, I just say, I just stare at the crucifix and I say, Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. And that's yeah. what I do.
You know, that's so important. You mentioned, you know, Ezekiel. And that's so good. You know, if a sinful man turns from his ways, you know, God will forgive him. But if a just man turns from his ways to him, we have that free will, right? Mm-hmm. And so God wants the everyone to live. You see so many times in Jesus' own ministry how he lifts up those poor, you know, the woman caught in adultery, right? I don't condemn you either, but go and sin no more. I mean, he lets you know there's mercy. He says, yes, don't sin anymore, but I forgive you. There is mercy. There is forgiveness. And what a great consolation that is in our Catholic view. You mentioned the sacrament of reconciliation. Every time I go, I come back so much more at peace.
Exactly. Yeah. I come out and it's like, oh, hallelujah. And I'm just all kind of giggly and all excited as
exactly.
I'm sitting there in prayer. It's just, it's renewing our baptism and setting ourselves free. So, yeah.
Exactly. Well, we're getting on to the beauty of what's happening here. And talk a little bit more about the beauty of looking at them than in this Catholic way.
Yeah. Well, the sacrament of reconciliation is one of healing, and the life we received at baptism, mm-hmm. strengthened in confirmation and nourished in the Eucharist, mm-hmm. is sometimes lost or severely threatened by our sinfulness.
Yeah.
And we need healing. Mm-hmm. And Jesus, in his great mercy, has given us a sacrament whereby we are restored both to our loving God and to the church.
Mm.
And as a result of receiving this gift, we are restored to our baptismal state of innocence.
Mm. Isn't and that awesome?
It's just awesome. And we are truly forgiven. Mm-hmm. We're recreated. But even with this understanding and assurance, going to confession is hard. Mm-hmm. You know, and we are masters at making excuses.
no, come
yeah.
on.
Yeah. Well, you know, what would Father think of me if I confess mm-hmm. what I did? Mm-hmm. Or why can't I just tell God I'm mm-hmm. sorry for some of our mm-hmm. non-Catholic fellow Christians? Why do I have to go to a priest? Why confess? I'm just going to sin again anyway. There's mm-hmm. a lot of perpetual stuff, and mm-hmm. it's no big deal. What's wrong with that? A list of rationalizations. The list goes on and on, but God is waiting for us. Mm-hmm. He already knows what's on our hearts.
Yeah.
It's amazing. For those that were just recently at the Redeem Conference, mm-hmm. Dr. Edward Schreier mentioned about behaviors, mm-hmm. and this is something classic in counseling is cognitive behavior therapy, mm-hmm. and the behaviors that we have, it's easier to rationalize the behavior than to change the behavior, although we know that the behavior mm-hmm. is the sin.
Mm-hmm. And we all do that in some way at some time, don't we? Mm-hmm. You're right. What a danger. And you mentioned reconciliation is so beautiful. And for our maybe some non-Catholic brothers and sisters, and even some Catholics who might be listening, as you know, what Jesus does, a resurrection appearance in John 20. First, he says, peace be with you. He's giving them peace. He says, peace again. Breathes on them that receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven. Yeah. Whose sins you hold bound are held bound. Mm-hmm. That beautiful ministry, then Paul says, we have the ministry of reconciliation God has given to us. James says, confess your sins to one another. And so this idea, and I know if we should say I'm sorry to God, and we do, mm-hmm. But the sacrament, when you go to the priest who's sitting in the person of Christ,
yes.
Because when we sin, you know that we don't just affect ourselves, we affect others, we affect the community.
Trickle down effect.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so it's all there. That's something, you know, I think it's interesting, the classic Martin Luther's idea of who we are.
Yeah.
What brings out, so the beauty here in the Catholic, what you're saying, Jennifer, is that we are good. And isn't it great that when God heals us, we're infused from the inside? Mm-hmm. We really do become pure. And Luther said, we're like snow-covered dung. We're still dung, he says, yeah. But just covered with snow. No, we're not snow-covered dung. We really and truly do become regenerated, yes. Recreated in the grace of God.
Exactly, exactly. And so for many Catholics then, it's that perpetual, you know, why do I have to confess this again, mm-hmm. and over and, mm-hmm. over again? That happens a lot in my practice with addictions.
Okay.
And sadly, there's pornography, mm-hmm. and other kind of things, mm-hmm. like that they confess. And, you know, that's kind of something that people make fun of as far as Catholics and mm-hmm. just, you know, then. But it is such a stronghold Satan has in society, yeah. all over the place. Mm-hmm. And we continue to work on that. And God forgives. And we learn and we try. And we go again. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Wonderful. We're talking with Jennifer Anderson of Catholic Charities here on Real Presence Live. This morning, my name is Tim Moser, your host. Boy, this topic of shame and guilt, I love how we're breaking this open and really seeing a Catholic perspective from it. We've talked about the beauty of looking at shame and guilt in the Catholic way, especially through the sacrament of reconciliation. Mm. Talk a little bit more about the truth and seeing that lie,
yeah.
behind shame and guilt.
Well, the big liar of all is Satan. Mm-hmm. Satan is everywhere and is telling us lies. Mm-hmm. He tells us that we don't have time to pray. Mm-hmm. We do have time to pray. Mm-hmm. He tells us that we aren't good enough. We are good enough. Mm-hmm. We are children of God, and God didn't make junk.
Absolutely.
Satan tells us to be anxious, as there is so much to be to worry about. That is a lie. So a lot of our worries, we have no business worrying about. We have no control over it. It is either God or someone else's, mm-hmm. stuff. Another lie is that you have lots of time. Well, I'm here to say that maybe we won't. Maybe we woke up tomorrow, or maybe something's going to hit us right here. Mm-hmm. Sadly, my mother-in-law just passed away.
Mm, sorry.
After 3 months of a diagnosis of ALS. Mm. And luckily, she was a wonderful spiritual woman, and she had she was all prepared. And we know that she's we're working on praying for her repose of her soul, sure. and she's a great woman. And Satan, so that you don't have time. And the other thing is that your past, Satan says, is unredeemable. Mm. He wants to keep digging it in that you're unworthy and you're not good. You are, and you are redeemable. We're washed away from our sins. Mm.
Exactly, exactly. Well, maybe someone's listening right now. They're struggling with shame or guilt or some things we've talked about. What would be your advice to them now?
Oh, well, my professional advice would be to complete an in-depth examination of conscience. Mm-hmm. So some people might not be aware of that there's a nice little script there, and I like the ones going by the Ten Commandments. Mm-hmm. And there's some great apps, too, mm-hmm. and so those with their phones.
Yes.
So the Laudate is a great one. And so going through that and complete your reconciliation, your penance, seek spiritual direction. My colleague last segment is awesome. From a parish priest or a trained spiritual director, a religious or lay person. Mm-hmm. In addition, seeking help from perhaps a Catholic counselor in your area. I myself work hand in hand with priests and spiritual directors as we work as a team. You don't have to be crazy, mm-hmm. Just stressed out. Just a listening ear. I'm not emotional. emotionally involved with that person. So my professional advice would be to make sure that they're healthy. Mm-hmm. Could be underlying physical problems, to go see their doctor. I use the three-legged stool to represent the mind, body, and spirit. So each one of us benefits from having our, quote, our own team. Mm-hmm. So your spiritual director, priest, your primary care provider, mm-hmm. your doctor, a counselor, a trusted friend. So by having this team in place, one is receiving guidance to live a healthy and balanced life. Mm. Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, now, you have an event coming up.
Yes.
In Wahpeton this week. Why don't you tell our listeners about that?
Well, the event is entitled Women and Guilt.
Ah.
Do you think women have guilt? I mean, men do too, but this is specifically for women, and mm-hmm. it's this Sunday, April 29th from 12:15 to 4 at St. John's in Wahpeton. Mm-hmm. I go down there to do counseling also, so I have an office there. And Mass is at 11, so if you want to go to Mass, and then we'll gather in the community room where we'll have a delicious lunch.
Yummy.
And I'll be the guest presenter for the whole afternoon. So it'll be a four-hour women's retreat.
Nice.
We'll discuss this topic very in-depth and have some interactive and other exercises. It'll be a fun afternoon retreat for women. So if you'd like to go, and they still have time or still have people that they can come, and they can call the parish office at Wahpeton. That number is 701-642-6982 or by emailing cachrysler@q.com. I sent Brandon the information, so he'll probably post that up.
Wonderful.
So there's no charge for this event. It's a free will offering is accepted.
Wonderful. And you know, women are naturally relational, as you know. So talk a little bit about why women in particular should attend this.
Yes, we're all, it's kind of like a girlfriend's thing. And so it's not a sleepover, although that would be kind of fun. You know, no matter how old we get, it's just so much fun for women to kind of let our hair down. Women are natural relational people, yet I see so many that tell me that they're busy and or they're lonely or they don't have healthy female relationships. Mm-hmm. So this Sunday will be a special time. This is a popular topic. Mm-hmm. I've been talking all over the diocese across the states and stuff, and I see hurting women. Mm-hmm. Friendships are made. Old friendships are rekindled. Women, most importantly, I see the women coming closer in their faith. Their faith in their Lord. So grab a friend, sister, mother, or come alone. And if you come alone, I will introduce you to some friends, and it'll be a fun time.
Great. That's wonderful. About a minute or so left. Anything else you'd like to add, Jennifer?
Well, today's world is pretty crazy. It's
you got
busy,
that,
busy,
right.
busy, and we can easily get caught up in things. And I'm telling everybody to slow down. Our goal is to get to heaven, right?
Absolutely.
You never see a hearse pulling a U-Haul, do you? Minimalism is a popular term. We are a sort of society of having too much stuff. So just, so I'll leave you with this. Go watch Madam Blueberry on VeggieTales.
Ah.
And I just love it. We have too much stuff. So make sure that we just keep ourselves right with God and clean house.
Wow. That is some great advice. I can tell that you are obviously have studied this, lived this, have been practicing this for a long time. Shame and guilt, we don't have to be afraid of them, do we?
Nope. Just embrace it. Quit running away. Quit hiding under the rock.
Exactly.
Hiding, and just take care of ourselves.
Yep. And I think if I'm hearing you right, I love the body, mind, spirit. We kind of talked about that in our first segment. Maybe you weren't listening to me come over. But it's so true. We're mm-hmm. made of that. We're body, soul, unity, and body, mind, and spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It's so important to take care of all of those. And I like how you addressed each of those three legs. We appreciate your time. And everything that you've done here with this, Jennifer. Catholic Charities, if they want to get a hold of you, how can they get a hold of you?
Yes, our number, 701-235-4457.
Okay.
And, I was supposed to put in a plug for our Caritas event over in the Bismarck Diocese.
Okay.
So please go to our website, CatholicCharitiesND.org.
Okay.
We give out this award in both dioceses. Catholic
right.
Charities covers the entire state. And so if you're interested in being part of that and celebrating the wonderful sisters that we are
yes.
honoring, please go to our website and let us know that you'd like to come and celebrate.
Sounds great. Well, Jennifer Anderson, thanks so much for coming. We appreciate it.
Thank you so
All
much.
All right. You
okay.
betcha. That's great. All right. Well, we're going to take another break here. When we come back at the top of the hour, We are going to return. Building network of support system in public schools is important to help children work through the trauma of abuse, neglect, and family dysfunction. Seems like a nice idea, but can it actually work with teachers and other faculty as busy as they are? We'll dig into this further after the break. You're listening to Real Presence Live. We'll be back right after this.